Ladies and gentlemen, fantastic to be here with you. Just let me go to the next slide here quickly. Okay, great. Very good. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I just would like to correct. Some people came up to me earlier on and asked me if I was Harry Potter's father. I am not. I'm pleased to tell you. But I can bring in some tremendous magic because of what is happening in the whole world of mobile. And never before has there been an opportunity for creators, for infrastructure, technology companies. In fact, I'm very pleased to say we've reached an absolute historic point, and I'd like to make a big announcement today to tell you that as of this month, we are now officially globally, so important to WIPO, we are living in a post-PC era. And the reason for that, ladies and gentlemen, is because the combined shipments of smartphones and tablets this year will overtake PCs. Now that's pretty something. So, I'm also a screenager. How many of you here are screenagers? There's one. I know he's a very well-known screenager, Jim Griffin. And even Peter Jenner, a good screenager. Well, let me tell you what a screenager is. It's someone who looks for the best screen available. And this is where this transformation is happening, not just in the developed countries, but specifically in the BRICA territories and absolutely in Africa. Just to give you some kind of idea, this year, 2011, there'll be 360 million sales of PCs, but there will be 1 billion sales of mobile phones. Of the devices in use, there are presently 5 billion mobile phones in use worldwide, expected to grow to 10 billion in just 8.5 years' time. So the new smartphone landscape is absolutely taking shape. And this is why it's really, really important for all of the member states to really understand the significance of this, because this is a revolution that is gathering steam, and interestingly enough, it's being led equally by the developed countries and a lot of great new developments in the developing countries. Right, so I'm going to take you on a journey in the next few minutes to show you some of the exciting ways in which wireless and mobile are really advancing the nature of intellectual property on a global basis. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. These are the people of the screen that we are now getting used to providing stuff for. Look at that little fellow top in the middle. That's obviously Nick Negroponte's one laptop per child. On the left, the glasses you see there is a way that you can actually project education lessons into lenses. And I'm going to take you through some of these ideas here. On the bottom right is alternate reality, an interesting new form that is taking place and shape in all of the developing smartphone and mobile markets. So, here's something that is pretty straightforward. We know, certainly, that information drives the advance of civilization. Yesterday, when Dr. Ishmael Serageldin spoke about the Library of Alexandria, that was the original Library of Alexandria, nearly 2,000 years ago. And as you can see, the early development of the Kindle on the bottom there, you can see the Kindles. That was where Jeff Bezos got his inspiration to develop the Kindle. As you can see, those stone tablets. Someone there was thinking of the Kindle even 2,000 years ago. Of course, speech and the articulation of it became an important development in human development. Gutenberg in the 15th century. And of course, the printing press created public politics. And of course, media technology, as we now live in this world that we're in, governs the growth of information, but also more importantly, the potential for developing opportunity for young people and developing countries at an economic basis, educational basis, and intellectually. I thought I'd just give you some additional numbers. Smartphone sales are really starting to speed up, 468 million being sold in 2011, and expected to sell 1 billion smartphones in just 3.5 years, 2015. So the essential difference between smartphones and feature phones, smartphones would be like an iPhone or a BlackBerry, touchscreen, various features. Of the 5 billion phones in the world today, about 75% are feature phones that don't have the great facilities of the modern-day smartphone. But this is converting at a very fast pace. Just to give you some other ideas, you know, 18 billion apps have been downloaded on phones since Apple opened their first app store in 2008. And the projection is in the next 3.5 years, there will be 49 billion mobile apps downloaded across the world, across subjects, across categories. So, media technology is now shaping human civilization. Very important as we move forward to see what's coming next. So we have now access, we've got access to more media technology than ever. I mean, this is something that I confront every day. Don't you? Don't you find that this is also affecting your lives, your daily intercourse? So let's just have a look 15 years ago where mobile and phones were. Very standard 15 years ago. And if you have a look at this picture, you can just see how simple everything actually is. Now let's just move the video forward 15 years. And here you see a more interesting and I would say quite complicated view. It's not really, it's made very easy for the users. But if you add in an additional layer, just to show you a little more complexity and opportunity for intellectual property, whether it's new inventions, new creations, new interactivity, we've now got this that's added in as an additional layer. So if you look at the power of blogs, look at the incredible pervasive nature of social networks, and if you look at social games, virtual worlds, photo shaping, you know, it's interesting, the most popular categories of apps, I thought I'd give you some information. 64%, number one category is mobile games, and of the mobile games, interestingly, ladies in the audience, 55% women, 45% men. Women are leading in mobile games, and women in the developing world love mobile games, and they can have a good educational value as well. Second category is weather, 60%. Then social networks, about 50%. Maps and search, about 50%. Music, 44%. And news, 39%. So these are facts that pretty straightforward, just 11 years ago. And now, 2011, we're looking at 5 billion mobile phones and really growing amazingly fast. In Africa, the 54 countries of Africa, we're seeing some amazing developments. In Kenya, a system of mobile payments and mobile commerce called M-Pesa, E-M-P-E-S-A, has transformed the ability for citizens to be able to pay with anything for their phone, from school fees to a Diet Pepsi to a taxi. This mobile payment system is now spreading like wildfire all across Africa. So we are really starting to see these new wireless devices with pervasive connectivity and plentiful online content is raising citizens' expectations of personal technologies. And particularly with Africa, as the submarine cables laying the new lines on the east and the west coast of Africa get connected into Africa, we're seeing wherever they get connected, there's a huge spike in music videos being downloaded onto mobile phones that have mobile web connectivity. So, we're going to now start getting into some of the nice meaty stuff. This is pretty straightforward. You can see these factoids. And as you can see, if you look at the world and look at the internet connectivity, lots of dark spots. Africa, a lot of dark spots. South America, there is obviously some places, but a huge amount still to be done. Obviously, Europe has got good coverage, and North America, clearly good coverage. Japan, Korea, you can see on the right of the screen there. So we've got a tremendous opportunity and tremendous potential. And in fact, one of the key objectives and I believe imperatives of WIPO is it would be very important for us to try and gather in all of the telcos, handset makers, telco infrastructure providers, because we need that constituency to help us with the process of copyright registration, copyright attribution, and a whole new third rail in which we would be able to utilize telcos to help us to protect the creative rights of copyright creators and what I call the visioneers and imagineers of the future. So, we all know we're now moving from a society from me to we, and it's moving faster and faster and faster. You don't have to drink Red Bull to know that this is going fast, but the secret to the future of copyright and the secret to the future of connected creativity lies in this picture you're seeing now. And what does this picture represent? Well, this is the two-way transmission between mobile devices and the user. Because look what the two-way network does. Clearly, it accelerates information production. It liberates information trapped inside of products. It extends our senses through other humans. It's true. It fuses the digital domain and the real world. So here's a device that was developed by LG, clearly for television usage, certainly in Korea, where people have long commutes. Watching television has become standard. And of course, a mobile web now presenting itself as a much, much more significant way forward. Just to give you an idea, this week it was announced that a Canadian company combining with an Indian company have just launched a tablet PC, $35 retail cost, $35, not a $100 laptop per child, $35. It's got an Android operating system, 2 gigabytes memory card, and it supports 32 gigabytes of memory. This is going to be spreading in India and Africa as a great new educational tool, because education is going to be consumed, delivered, prepared through mobile devices. Let's take a look at another one. Nike, who would have thought that you could put wireless technology into running shoes? Well, Nike have got a very big wireless division that are now building apps that go into running shoes. Now, the implications of this for the developing countries, and particularly in Africa, is that you will be able to have technology that can help you get healthier. This might help the WHO in some of the objectives of promoting health and wellness. This is an area where clothing is going to become intelligent with the placement of little chips that can get wireless information and communicate with telcos. These are little medical devices that can actually dissolve in your stomach. But you swallow one of those, and it's a little wireless device that can actually transmit some of your vital signs and functions back to via the telco to a hospital. And in fact, we're even seeing now that there are some fantastic new developments for juvenile diabetes, where you can also use wireless technology to read through the surface of the skin. You would be able to take a mobile phone, and you'd be able to put your finger on the sensor of the phone. It will read through the skin. It will ping your doctor or your nurse or your caregiver to tell you that it's time for your insulin shot. That's all this new wireless connectivity that is part of creating these new copyrights and intellectual property that drives it. Of course, Facebook, now 800 million plus, just crossed the 800 million mark. And as Mark Zuckerberg said, they do have the most powerful distribution mechanism. The fact that they've just announced a tie-up with Spotify, the Swedish visionaire Daniel Ek started Spotify just a couple of years ago. They have 10 million users who get a free service, 1.6 million that pay, and they got funded right in the early days by one of the largest telco operators in Hong Kong, the Three Network. But this is also helping Facebook and music creators create a whole new landscape for music. I thought I'd put in this slide just to show you what social networks are doing and how this is manifesting in the mobile space. If you have a look at some of these categories, this can show you basically what some of the most pertinent social media uses are, obviously, interacting with friends, personal friends, or keeping up to date. And if you look at those top five categories, this also shows how we are moving from me to we, or we to me. It's actually an interchangeable form. So when we are trying to think of interesting new applications on a worldwide basis and making it also work in many different languages, we look at examples like this to give us some guidelines. Of course, one of the big developments in wireless and mobile has been gamification. Video gaming is bigger than the music industry, approaching the size of the movie industry. And Zynga, that created Farmville, that created Gagaville, Lady Gaga even did her own game. And Zynga is exceptionally successful and popular, tapping into marrying wireless with video and social games. Same applies to Foursquare. How many of you are not familiar with Foursquare? So Foursquare is an interesting company that was started in New York by two young men, Dennis Crowley and Naveen Selvadurai. Naveen was working at Sony Music, making ringtones in the ringtone department. Dennis Crowley was a buddy of his, and they loved to go out drinking, partying, and finding girlfriends in New York. And what they wanted to do was to tell their friends which was the best bar they could go to where they'd get the best drinks. And if they went to the bar many times, the more they went to the bar, they'd get a special badge to show that they went to that bar. And the person that got the most badges would get an extra badge saying he or she was the mayor of that bar or that restaurant or that shop. Well, this has taken off like wildfire over the last 18 months. People now send messages to tell their friends where they are on Foursquare. This is going to be almost as pervasive as Twitter and the huge growth in tweeting and how it becomes a new social media language. So we're moving from copy to access. There's Spotify, of course, looking at Apple. Give you some facts about iTunes. They've so far, iTunes, sold 16 billion songs. And of course, you know, the music providers get 70% of the gross. Let's say it's 99 euro cents. The record company and publishing company and creators have to share 70 cents of the 99 cents. Apple have downloaded or had downloaded 15 billion applications. They have a 68% share of the online film buying market. And interestingly enough, their app store, Apple, is only available in 90 countries, and the iPhone is only sold in 105 countries. What about the rest? What about those developing countries where there is a huge demand for smartphones? Well, in India and in China, the new smartphone is coming in at a $30 to $35 sales price, which is going to see a huge exponential increase in smartphone usage, because these cheaper smartphones, which are threatening the likes of Nokia, but this is starting to make smartphone technology available to a much wider stripe. Even education is now being downloaded and sent on tablets and on phones, and is going to prove to be an extremely important way of developing new forms of education. As an example, educational comics, educational AIDS education. All of this is now being made available through pervasive wireless devices and mobile phones. Even cars, now the first cars have rolled off the assembly line with Bluetooth, allowing your satellite navigation system to have your music displayed. You automatically can order your music delivered to the speakers in the car, and movies, television, into the screens in the back of the car. Now, motor cars are so much more wirelessly connected. If we look at this vast plethora of information, in just another 9 years, we're going to be using 35 zettabytes of information per day, and 1 zettabyte equals 1 trillion gigabytes. Talk about information overload. I know we all have trouble dealing with our emails, voicemails, tweets. Well, fortunately, these data centers around the world can accommodate this rush to experience and participate in all of this data information. Some have said newspapers are going to become extinct because you'll be able to read your newspaper or your news source on your tablet or on your phone. Already, 3 major cities in the United States, Denver, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, have seen their newspapers go bankrupt. Switzerland, 2025, you'll get the paper tomorrow morning. Don't worry about that. So even business models are being rethought. Here is one idea of how you overcome the problem of free, or what has become known as freemium. So you use things like virtual currencies because you really are now also competing for people's time and attention. No longer can you expect people to naturally sit in front of a TV set or go to a movie screen. You have to bring that to someone's personal screen. So your role obviously changes from passive to active. As we've seen in the Arab Spring, Facebook, certainly Google in Tahrir Square, and even here we can see mobile phones playing an absolutely fundamental political role in raising people's consciousness, political demands, and the need for governments to be more receptive to the new way of communicating and listening. So we're moving also from product to data. We're seeing post-product services. We've spoken about Zynga, but of course the Kindle. By the way, students can get a Kindle for $35, the rest of us $199. Virtual currencies. Does anyone know what this picture is? If I said to you this was a nightclub, would you think that it's a nightclub? Well, it actually is a virtual nightclub. And this was put on offer as a virtual nightclub for $600,000 on the web. It didn't get $600,000, but someone had paid almost $200,000. And the sale of virtual goods in the United States is going to exceed $2 billion this year. So virtual goods is another new category of creativity that is also fueling the new way of intellectual property for the mobile age. We're moving from invisible metadata to tangible. So alternate reality is a construct that is rapidly developing some movement. An alternate reality, as it is called, a lot of the technology developed by a company in San Diego, this allows you to hold up your phone to something that you're looking at. And this is a one in Amsterdam. The blue dots show you which apartments are available to rent. It just comes up automatically on your phone because the alternate reality is linked to your GPS. And so basically, if you are running an apartment, you'll get it like that. Same thing happens here, where you can be looking at the new WIPO building when it's built, and you'll be able to see an ads, which office space is to rent. This shows you what you will be seeing, but it's all an alternate kind of reality, all done through GPS and the technology in your device. Here's the car without a driver that Google has been practicing with, because further wireless intelligence into the car. And this fellow here has developed an incredible way of being able to use gestures to make a phone call. So he's got a projector on his chest, he's got a camera, and on his fingers you can see the tapes. Well, there he is making a phone call on his fingers using this gesture technology. It looks like magic. It looks like there's some kind of juju or mojo inside there, but it's true. This is in Ford, Nike, and even Levi's. You can phone up and get jeans made to your size. And of course, we're even seeing wireless in the age of 3D printing. All of those objects there were made by a 3D printer that can be done on your computer, wirelessly transferred to the printer. And how about this? Well, we didn't get the last slide, but just to finish off, I want to show you two slides. I was going to show you actually a big size car that was made on a 3D printer and printed out that last year at the TED conference in California. I actually rode in. I couldn't believe it. It was made on a 3D printer. So this lady here, those of you who don't know who she is, this is Lady Gaga. She's wearing a dress made of meat, and she has been one of the great thinkers and visionaries to bring together fashion, social media, and music. And we've been working with Lady Gaga. I represent her for her mobile work at how she can get her work converted to thousands of people in different languages around the world. And we do the same for this lady. We want to, and we've got technology that will allow Madonna to record a song in English, but then to be able to do maybe 60 or 70 different languages. We can do Chui for Ghana. We can do Hindi for India. We can do Portuguese for Brazil. And it'll sound like Madonna, because we can wash Madonna and her voice over someone in their native tongue, so that Madonna's voice will have the correct diction. So if someone from China, from Beijing, or someone from Hunan, we could even do the different accents using modern wireless technology. I mean, this just gives you some idea of how she's so big. Next April, we have a big, huge global cycle for Madonna, where she'll be going around the world singing all of her hits. And the Material Girl, some people said to me, isn't she Lady Gaga's granny? No. She's the Material Girl. So ladies and gentlemen, these are just some of the ideas, and I would like to just add that from a WIPO perspective, we have to bring in the telcos. Those telcos could help us really speed up attribution and copyright control in a way that will be for the benefit of copyright creators. We will be able to develop emerging market platforms, and we'll be able to have the telcos as a glue for copyright and helping to support the great work that all of you are doing. So thank you very much. Appreciate your attention.